It's time for another award-winning episode of The Square and the Round, our podcast with me, Chris Kelly, and there's B.B. Shea.
What's going on?
I like this look. Shorter hair?
Yeah.
Clean shaven?
I've been getting a lot of mixed reviews on it so far.
Well, I like your beard. I do.
Yeah, I'm starting to miss it a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
But you said you're going to clean shaven all this year.
I want to try to, but the people may have something else to say
the
about
whole
that.
Year.
Yeah.
The whole year. Can you do it? Can you go
I can do it.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. But if enough people text me or email me saying, you got to get the beard back, bro,
you think?
Then I might change it up.
Well,
You
don't seem like a person to me that would take that kind of direction. You just carve your own
path.
Yeah,
typically not, but you know, when it comes to my looks overall, I tend to, you know, take people's consideration.
Have you done anything? I think you're looking dapper. I like the way you're dressing.
Thank you very much.
Have you done anything now? We've turned now, what are we now? A couple week and a half into the new year. Anything else?
You know, just trying to eat better.
Good.
Live cleaner.
Good for you.
You know, be a little bit more present.
We just had a guy a few days ago. We learned that he had passed away, that had done some work with us.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a shock because he was not very old.
Yeah.
50s, I guess. Uh-huh. And I mean, I knew him loosely. He's a good guy, really good guy. I liked him a lot. When something like that happens, it always scares me. I just told you that scares me. Yeah, always.
That's kind of interesting. See, yeah, I really don't get weirded out when people pass. I think maybe as I get older, that may be a thing.
Somebody close to my age, when they pass away, no matter what, how, whatever the circumstances are, I go, uh-oh. You know, I start to really get concerned about
that. It's the ones that I hear about where people are like, oh, he was just a normal dude. You know, it's just the last second type of stuff. You know what
it's
I'm saying?
I hear all the – listen, recently I admitted that I had high blood pressure, as you know.
Yeah.
And now it seems to be back to normal. I haven't taken it in a few days, but when I took it over the holiday, every time I did take it, it was back to normal. But when I learned that it was a high, a lot of people emailed me and said, oh, you got to take that seriously. Mm-hmm. Because I knew a guy that had high blood pressure, and he was in great shape, and he didn't take it seriously and dropped dead.
Yeah.
That really worries me.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Because that's just not right.
You're right.
I hate it. And when somebody dies, I get way too into this. We recently had that police officer get shot.
Correct. Yeah. Here locally.
I am so mad about that.
Yeah.
I am so mad. Everybody is.
Yeah.
I mean, these punks who stole $80 worth
senseless.
Of beer.
Yeah.
It's so senseless. It makes me so mad.
Yeah.
And this guy, who's a hero and doing real good for the community, and gets killed out of nowhere. And part of me think that I'm so sad about that.
Yeah.
And then you think, you never know any moment that could be it. You know, anybody could stop for gas and get shot.
That, talking about that right now, now I'm starting to feel it. Now I'm starting to feel how you feel.
It's terrible. I mean, that because you never know. I mean, that guy was stopping for gas at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. And he's a hero because he's a cop and tried to stop a robbery.
Yeah.
But even if you're not trying to do anything, just trying to stay out of the way, it
exactly.
can happen anytime,
yeah.
anywhere. I guess that's why they say you should live each day like it's your last.
Yeah,
That's how
it's the new year. You still have time to do that, too.
You do.
There's never a bad time to start that.
I told you it would tick me off so badly if I tried to look after my health. Because in the last 10 years, I've really tried to look after my health. And then if I got to age 60 and got shot or dropped dead of an aneurysm or something, I would
be pissed
so angry
from beyond the grave, just pissed.
I'm pissed. Yeah. I would be in heaven going, what?
I do everything right.
I did everything. I tried.
And there's some a-hole.
Exactly. I tried to do everything right, and it goes badly like that.
Yeah.
One thing you do, you step out in front of a bus.
Exactly.
And that's it, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to be more positive
here.
There we
go.
In the
let's
new
try
year.
To be a little bit
you had a good
positive.
Idea, I think, and we should probably end with this. You said let's do a focus now on a top five list.
Weekly top five.
I told someone about this, and they said, oh, you've run out of ideas already. So, yeah, I guess branching out to new ideas. And so then, this is great background look at this. So you said, let's do a top five of something. It could be anything every week.
Yeah.
And I came to you and said, what's your idea for the first week? And you said, I don't have
one.
Now here's why I think we should do it this way. And we can end with it. But I think we should do it. It's very niche. It's obscure. But the top five, the reason I say the top five Quentin Tarantino movies is because I watched 1.5 Quentin Tarantino movies recently.
Yeah, right.
I tell you that.
Yeah.
I watched Inglourious Basterds.
Yes, first time ever.
Yes, on your recommendation. Many people have told me. And then when I got done with that, it said, if you like that, you might like Django Unchained. And I said,
great movie. Yeah.
I'll do it. Watched 40 minutes of it. was sleeping. Yeah. So I was falling asleep. So I turned it off. I was going to finish it the next day, and it went away from – it was on Prime Video and went away. I hate the way they do that.
I do, too.
At least they should have said – going away soon. It was just gone.
Or like while you're watching it, be like, hey, by the way, this is not going to be here tomorrow, you know.
When you turned off, they should say, you better...
Might want to finish this.
You might want to finish this one.
You got a DVD player?
Somewhere. I don't think it's hooked up anymore.
Okay, I got you.
Do you think that technology is just done, DVDs? It seems to be.
I still collect DVDs.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You collect DVDs?
I do, yeah.
For what reason? What purpose?
I have a theory that one day all this digital stuff is going to go away.
Yeah?
And nobody's going to be able to access entertainment. No, except for me.
You might be right.
Because I got a bunch of DVDs that I can watch at any moment.
I just saw a movie, and I'll recommend this to you.
Okay.
Maybe you've seen it. It was produced by the Obamas. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's called Leave the World Behind.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I watched, like you and Django, I watched the first 40 minutes of it.
All right.
And never went back to watch it again.
Oh, you didn't go
back?
Didn't
finish it, yeah.
Why didn't you finish it?
I just wasn't that intrigued by it.
Really?
Yes.
I was intrigued by it. Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was really good.
It was interesting. I kind of left it at a part that was kind of leading up to something big, but I just never felt the need to watch it again.
What happens in the movie is it's really about the world ending, like hackers. They make us turn on each other here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the grid is attacked, basically. Yeah. There's no internet, there's no nothing, and the world is falling apart. You know, it's one of those end of the world scenarios. What bothered me about it is it's produced by the Obamas, so it's like, well, what do you
it's
know?
Kind of interesting.
You're a little close to that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how realistic?
If anybody knows about this, you
probably
know.
I mean, the Obamas were right there next to that kind of thing.
What do you like it when like people like that go and do stuff like into producing and stuff? Regardless of like the content, I want you to be the president.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah. Well, I'm so single focused or whatever. Like when LeBron James goes to do movies, I'm like, you're a basketball player.
Exactly.
Go play basketball.
Yeah.
I would always be that too. If I was a great basketball player, that's what I would be.
Yeah.
I would never, ever do anything. I would play basketball forever. I might broadcast it after I was done. But other than that.
You would shut up and dribble.
Of course.
Yes.
I would. I would never comment on anything. I would never make.
I agree. I 100%.
I would shut up and dribble. I'd say, like, you're paying me millions of dollars. I have this God-given talent that I've worked on for my whole life. Of course, that's all
I'm not
I
about
do.
To get canceled
Why
over
would
anything.
I do that?
Yeah.
I would never do anything like that. And then. I would never venture out into acting or anything. I'd be like, I'm a basketball player.
Now, as far as athletes and stuff like that, I don't mind it so much, but like presidents and people of power and influence like that.
Agreed.
No. Well, Donald Trump is weird though, because he was a TV star
before he became.
So that's
so was
kind
Ronald
of a weird
Reagan.
Thing. Yeah.
See, before my time, Ronald Reagan was, of course, a great movie star.
Actually, you know what? Now that I've said that, I'm not mad at the Obamas anymore.
At the Obamas
don't make your money.
But
I'm not mad at them.
Once you've been president, that's it. You've had the greatest.
I feel you.
You've had the highest job in the world.
Yeah.
Don't go produce movies now.
I got you.
There was a president. I think it was William Howard Taft, who was the fattest president ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the president. And then once he got out of office, he went back. And I want to say he was a Supreme Court justice. He went. He did something else. I think he was a Supreme Court. It was either that or a senator. I think he was a Supreme Court justice.
What's life like after the presidency as far as like money and wages and stuff like that?
I believe you get paid.
You
get paid a few hundred thousand a year until your death, I think.
Okay.
And then, of course, you write a book and you make
millions.
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, the Obamas have no problems with money. The point about this movie is now, and here's a little part of the movie that my wife and I argued over.
Uh-huh.
Now, how would you handle it? You probably saw this part if you saw the first
part. I did see this part. Yeah.
Okay, so... The whole concept of the movie is Ethan Hawke is married to Julia Roberts, and Julia Roberts...
I didn't like that, by the way. I just want to say that was a weird couple choice
for me. You didn't like those two?
Not a fan, but keep
really?
Going. Yeah. She just seems so much older than him, even though they're probably close and the same age.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She's just a lot more prevalent to me, so it's weird. But
I wonder if she did the movie because the Obamas produced it.
To me, that was like if you had like Meryl Streep and Seth Rogen be a couple.
You thought it was
an
odd...
It's very similar to me, yeah.
I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't have a problem with those two.
I just had to throw that in.
Yeah. All right, so they're at she gets up one morning and says, I've rented a beach house. I want us to go for a long weekend at the beach. And he's like, okay. And she says, I've got a great deal on it. Let's just go. Mm-hmm. The place is called Leave the World Behind. So they take the kids, they go to the beach, which, great, you know, beautiful house, beautiful house.
Gorgeous.
Well, that night, strange things start happening. The TV goes down, there's no internet, the phone is all messed up, you know, so it's like something's going on, you know that. Well, Coming to show up at their house is Mahershala Ali, who is a really good actor and a black guy, and his college-age daughter, who's black. And Julia Roberts opens the door, and they say, listen, I own this house. We rented it to you, but I have no way to prove it because we're on the way back in from a speaking engagement to the city. I don't want to go there because things are happening there. It's like a blackout or something. They're not sure what's going on. We're off the grid. I've left my phone, or I can't even get on my phone. I've left my wallet back at the speaking engagement. Yeah. So he has no way of proving who he is, but he has his name. He's like, my name is such and such, and we were emailing back and forth. I rented you this house. Yeah. And Julia Roberts said, you can't prove that to me, and you're not coming in this house. And Ethan Hawke said, come on, let's give him a break. They seem like nice people.
Yeah.
I would have absolutely been with Ethan Hawke.
I would have had to make him prove it to me.
Oh, you would have been like Julia
Roberts. I would
have had
Roberts. To have made it prove it to me.
Well,
yes.
My wife said, no way. Yeah. And my wife and I talked about this. She said, not only, even if he tried to prove it to me, I wouldn't believe it.
If there was a way that he could prove it to me that nobody else who didn't live in that house couldn't, I would have let him.
Yeah, I would have let him come in just based on the fact that they... This is so stereotypical. They looked really nice. Yeah. He was dressed really nicely.
Yeah.
And he knew. He's like, I've been emailing with you. You must be so-and-so. I rented you this. I just would have believed
him. You know what else I would have done? I would have left.
You would have gone.
I would have left. If I was the family that was there, I would have left.
But it's the middle of the night and they're drunk.
I don't care.
They've been drinking.
I'm gone. I'm
but
out.
But they got to drive back to the city an hour.
That's fine. I'm gone.
But you can't drive drunk.
I mean,
and look what's happening back in the city. There's a blackout. You can't get an Uber.
If you don't know that, then okay, that has to be proven to me.
Okay.
And I can get into my house, you know what I'm saying, back in the city.
But you've got to drive. Yeah. They'd had like a bottle of wine each. That's the whole setup.
I would have sobered up really quick when
that
dude walked
setup.
In the door.
What, cold shower?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If that dude showed up to the house, I would have been sober real
but
quick.
But if you couldn't leave, okay. If it really was, I would have let him in. I would have said, okay, I believe you. And, you know, I would have locked my doors. But my wife said, absolutely not. Your kids are there. How could you do that? So we had that very conversation that Ethan Hawke had with Julia Roberts. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting
very
concept.
Interesting, yeah. Which I think that kind of speaks socially as well. You know.
Well, they made it. It was a racial thing.
It was a racial thing.
Because here's the 20-year-old black woman saying, oh, I see. You're
exactly.
not going to let us in.
Yeah.
If I think, you know, that they wanted to work that angle into it. Julia Roberts, I guess, technically was right because when you rent the house, you own the house for that weekend.
That is true.
Right? It's yours
that is true.
For that weekend.
Yeah.
Very interesting circumstance in my mind. So what you've said you're going to lose weight, eat better.
Yeah, lose weight,
I
eat
read
better.
The thing that upends almost every single New Year's resolution is people blame money problems. They say, well, I don't have the money to do it or the time to do it. And that's when it ends. It ends in about 3 weeks to a month. By February, it's over, and people say, I don't have money for a gym membership, I don't have money for good food, and I don't have time to go to the gym.
First of all, that's false.
You think that's false?
You have money for a good gym membership.
It's $10.
Planet Fitness is $10 a month,
right.
And you don't even notice $10 when it comes out of your stuff. And if you go shop at Aldi, you can eat well.
I think so, too.
You can eat well. I eat chicken, rice, and broccoli, and it costs me $70 every 2 weeks.
It's a... Aldi has good produce.
They do. Aldi's very underrated.
Underrated.
Yes.
Do you like the fact that you have to pay a quarter?
I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me. I was having a conversation with a family who's a little bit more high in status than I am a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And they have an Aldi near them, and they don't shop there because of that.
Because of the cart?
Yeah, because of the cart and because they don't give you bags and because the people sit down when they check you out. And I'm like... Who said this
had
to be labor intensive?
Who cares?
Yeah, they're checking you out.
And people who don't like to go to Aldi because of if you don't know about Aldi, to get the cart, you have to put a quarter into a slot to make the cart come back to you.
Yeah.
You get the quarter back when you go and turn the
cart
in.
Exactly. It's not like it keeps your quarter. And that's smart if you think about it because people aren't really, and you could still steal the cart if you want. You're out 25 cents.
It's genius. And
exactly.
Do you know they have way fewer carts that are left into the parking lot.
Exactly.
And therefore, they have fewer carts damaged and have to buy fewer carts and keep prices low. To me, it was genius.
That's European shopping
That's
for you right
European
there.
European genius
yes, into
right
America,
there.
Yeah.
I thought, what a... The only problem I had with it, and I go to Aldi from time to time, and I used to shop there a lot. Mm-hmm. We used to have one very close to our house, and I shopped there all the time.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great. Except I would have to make sure I had a quarter in the car, you know.
Sure, I know that's the only thing. But then again, you know, just carry it.
Well, I did.
Or you can go get a box from the store and then carry it around
right.
if you're really struggling.
I would do all our shopping.
Yeah.
I basically would put one quarter in the car for that purpose and that purpose alone.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So I was totally, I was all for that.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think there really are no excuses.
Yeah, there really are. As far as the eating, you know, and, you know, on exercising and stuff, you don't have to go to a gym to exercise.
You're on the street.
You can drive the park. You can walk around the block. Walk, do something that's cold. Yeah.
But they say that, I don't have time. B, I don't have money. But I think really those are just excuses.
And they are, 100%. Any excuse to not do what you want to do is just
right.
an excuse.
I think you're right on that, too. This is athletics. I saw this. It's also got a racial component to it.
Yeah.
You have fun with this. Did you see this guy? This has been a couple weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Rashard Mendenhall. Did you see his comments? Rashard Mendenhall.
No, he's an
old NFL running back. Yeah. He's retired now. But he wrote on Twitter, "I'm sick of average white guys commenting on football." Here we are in the football playoffs. Uh-huh. He's like, "Y'all not even good at football. We should replace the Pro Bowl with an all-black versus all-white game and see how that goes."
Yeah.
And then J.J. Watt said, "That would be a trouble for us. We're gonna lose that one."
Well,
y'all got Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
we can't cover Tyreek
exactly.
Hill.
Nobody can cover Tyreek Hill.
Who would you take if we're putting together the white team?
The black team.
Well, I know that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking who would I take.
No,
sorry.
If you're
honest to God, though, the white team would be better than you think.
You think?
Look at the San Francisco 49ers.
All right.
Their whole team is white.
Okay,
and
so let's put it together. I hope this is not deemed racist, but he said
He brought it up, and people have been doing this online. I've seen
it. Oh, has they done this?
Yeah. So
the quarterback.
Josh Allen.
You take Allen
easy.
Over. Okay, yeah.
He's over who?
Well, I was going to say, Purdy, but yes. I was going to say Mahomes, but Mahomes is
give me wild. Josh Allen, who's can rush and throw the ball.
Yeah.
Give me Christian McCaffrey in the back.
McCaffrey's the running back. Who are the receivers?
Yeah, Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
Didn't
think about him.
Puka Nacua.
Is he white?
Close enough. Close enough. He went to BYU. That's close enough to me. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Puka Nacua. I didn't know. I don't know anything about
him. He's about to break the
rookie
record.
Well, I know
he's
good. Yeah. I've never even seen. That's the thing about football. I don't even see their faces.
Exactly.
I just see the uniform. I know Puka Nacua.
I'm pretty sure Puka Nacua is white.
So we can take Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
And the running back, of course, McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Easy to get linemen.
Tight end. Yeah.
Oh,
take a pick.
Travis Kelce.
All good tight ends are white.
Yeah. Mark Andrews,
Travis Kelce, George Kittle.
But what about defense?
The line, you give me
no problem.
Bosa,
yeah.
Watt.
Yeah.
How
about the defensive backs?
See, that's where we get screwed.
The cornerbacks.
There is no white corners in the league. The last white corner to start in the NFL was Jason Sehorn.
20 years ago?
This was 20 years ago.
When he played
for
the Giants?
Yeah.
And then others.
Yeah, I think that was
Seahawks,
right.
maybe, but Giants for sure.
Yeah, the secondary would be trash.
Yeah, we get beat. Tyreek Hill against some white
Harrison
quarterback?
Smith, I guess.
I think they score every time.
100%.
I think they who's the black quarterback? But Mahomes, right?
I would say Mahomes.
Mahomes and then God, and then the running back with Derrick Henry or
Derrick Henry,
whoever.
Take a pick.
Yeah. And same with Tyreek Hill's receiver.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill.
I'm putting my money is on the black team.
It definitely. But I think the white team would surprise.
You think they would?
I think the white team would
keep
surprise.
It close?
Especially on offense.
I think you have to grind it out.
Yeah,
I think
you would
run the ball.
I mean, the
a
black
lot.
Team, without a doubt, would win. But the white team, I think, would surprise you.
It was funny that he said that.
I
thought that was a funny way for J.J. Watt to come back. It makes me – I'm puckered up just talking about this. You know how I pucker.
I got you.
I get very uncomfortable.
They brought it up.
I get very uncomfortable even talking about this.
It's fun. So I was thinking about sports the other day, and I was kind of – listening to stats. Is there a feat in professional sports that gets a lot of hype but really doesn't impress you that much?
It used to be a 1,000-yard rusher. It means nothing.
How I feel about a 1,000-yard receiving.
It means nothing.
It means nothing to me. I'm not impressed by people getting a 1,000-yard receiving.
Me neither.
And because you can be on a crap team and just be the number one guy. You don't even have to win games. You don't even have to, you know, be that.
They're playing 17 games now. What is that, about 60 yards a game?
That's
70 yards
yes.
a game? It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I agree. When they say that, in fact, stats in general don't really impress. I'm so impressed right now with, the quarterback in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, should be the starting quarterback for the black team.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, he's that good.
True.
He's so good. I have always said about him, his stats are really good, but he's going to get hurt, which he has a couple of years, and he's got to stand in there and win a playoff game, but I think he's going to now.
I would not be surprised if they won.
They're going deep into the playoffs.
I think John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh are both getting championships this year.
Well, by the time this drops, Jim may or may not have one.
I
hope you're right.
I think he's going to win it. I think
you do?
Michigan's going to win it.
Well, this happened last night.
True.
As this drops, this happened last night. You think Michigan over Washington?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't think Washington was going to beat Texas.
That quarterback they have is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's kind of proven a lot to me.
Penix is unreal. Yeah. He throws a great ball.
He does. But I think
I would love I'm a Broncos fan. I'd love to have him.
I think Michigan's just
they're tough.
I think they're that much
better. I thought they were dead in the water against Alabama, though. I thought so too, man.
Honest to God, like that last little bit when they came, those last 2 minutes of the game, they really won it.
Down 20-13, had not moved the ball all the second half. They had some stones going down and scoring the tying touchdown. And then in overtime, when they scored, especially, it's like, okay, I think they're winning now. But for a while, I thought they were dead.
I was disappointed in Alabama's overtime play calling. I thought they maybe tried to be a little bit more aggressive.
Why did Alabama run it straight up the middle on fourth and goal?
Yeah, you tell me. I have no clue.
I keep hearing that because the snap was low, he abandoned the play, but he shouldn't have because the snap was, I mean, it was low, but it wasn't like it hit the ground.
True.
He caught it. It took a fraction of a second. He could have run the play, whatever it was. If that's the play call, it's terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Just ran straight up the middle.
And they could have easily won that game. They could have easily won the championship this year, I think.
That was I agree. Yeah. If they had won over Michigan, they probably would have won the championship. Yeah. That was a real missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah,
do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to the pros?
If he wins in Michigan, no. If he wins, he has a reason to stay for the rest of his career.
Well, as you're speaking now, he's either won or lost.
True,
doing this podcast, you don't know.
That's the one thing about it.
I think you're right, though. I think they...
Because I think he embodies that Michigan head coach. Like, I know my dad and I were talking. He's got a lot of Bo Schembechler in him.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, looks like him, acts like him.
You know, and was coached by him.
Yeah.
He, when he said after they beat Alabama, who's got it better than us? Nobody. I thought to myself, then why would you even consider it?
Exactly.
You know what I would love to have seen him do? I think this would have been so just fantastic. Before the game, they were interviewing him, before the Alabama game. They're down on the sideline. They're, Coach Harbaugh, what do you have to do to win this game? I thought to myself, if he wanted to make himself a real hero, he should say, you know what? Before I answer any of your questions, I'm just going to say I'm staying at Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm not taking an NFL job. I'm staying here. This is where my heart is.
Yeah.
This team, I'm at Michigan. He would have been beloved forever. And why not?
Yes.
They're paying him a fortune.
Yeah.
It's college football. It's at his alma mater.
And he's pretty much just synonymous with them now.
He can write his own ticket.
Yes, absolutely.
Stay, you know? Love the one you're with. Stay.
This is another thing I was having a conversation about as far as social media has ruined the head coach. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Years and years ago, no matter what a coach did, they would stay with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Take Bill Belichick, for example.
Yes.
Bill Belichick took the Patriots from a nothing franchise to a dynasty. 9 Super Bowls, 6 championships. He's had 3 bad years, and they want him out.
They want him gone. Yeah.
Could you imagine back in the 80s having won 6 Super Bowls and then asking for your job 3 years later?
You know, Tom Landry. This is a similar situation to Tom Landry.
Yeah.
And when Jerry Jones bought the team. Now, Tom Landry had a ton of success with the Cowboys in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
But by the end of the 80s, they were not any good anymore. Jerry Jones buys the team. He fires Landry, and he is hated in Dallas for doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, they hated him. Now, he brought in Jimmy Johnson. They won, so he flipped everything around. But as soon as he did it, it was like, what? You're firing the legend? It looked terrible.
Yeah.
Now they want him gone.
But see, I think that's the issue. It's an issue in college basketball, and it's an issue with college or professional football. Because take the Panthers, for example.
Yes.
How are they supposed to grow as a team when there's a new person calling the shots?
Every year.
Every year.
I know.
How are you supposed to grow?
Look at the culture in Pittsburgh. 3 coaches in 60 years.
Exactly.
That's how
and
it
what
works.
Do they do? They don't have losing seasons.
They never have losing
seasons.
They're
always in the playoffs.
Hire a good guy.
Yeah.
I would give a coach at least 4 to 5 years.
Absolutely.
Off rip. But the Panthers, of course, they have an awful owner. I mean, he's awful.
See, I know what happened with him a couple weeks ago.
I thought
the only way Panthers culture is changing if he's out. And that may have been his ticket out, but I know he just got fined. So
they're not going to go. Yeah. So I heard you say that the other day. But to get rid of an owner takes forever.
You got to be like super racist or
you got to grope somebody,
get me-too'd or something.
You got to do that.
You're right.
Like the guy in Washington was an awful owner. It took him 25 years to get rid of.
Same with the Clippers.
It took
Donald Sterling. No, yeah.
Ballmer owns him now. Sterling. Yeah. He was an awful owner for years.
Yeah.
Said something racist that finally
exactly
was
done.
You can throw a drink on anybody you want.
True.
What did they find? They fined him $300,000.
$300,000. Nothing.
Somebody said that's like, 65 cents or something to you and me?
Probably,
It's
like $300,000 for that. I was like, I'll do that every week.
Just nothing.
Yeah, might as well keep doing it.
You're right. Did you see this is NFL related somewhat. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show and said that when the Epstein list comes out, he's hoping that Jimmy Kimmel is on it, joking around.
Sure.
And then Kimmel, boy,
he did not take that lightly.
He said, I'm going to sue you for
which
saying
I agree. That. I kind of agree with Kimmel. Now, I know Aaron Rodgers was joking, but I kind of agree with Kimmel on that.
When I first saw it, I thought, come on, it's a joke. But The more I think about it, the more I think, well, that's a pretty damaging list to be 100%. On. And if you even joke about something like that.
When that list inevitably comes out, I feel like it won't for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be if it's as detailed as we hope it is, then that's going to be damaging for a lot of stuff. It may be out by the time this drops. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they're going to keep, you said, they'll lawyer. I hear Bill Clinton's name's going to be on there.
Yeah, he was the one that's kind of been he's been identified as on the list.
So that's something you just can't joke about, I guess, because it's 100%. Serious.
Yeah, because
it's
think of the careers that it's going to affect and end most likely if it's what we expect.
God
you know?
Almighty. I mean, that is awful. Yeah. It really is. So when Roger says that, I guess Kimmel has a right to be really upset.
I agree 100%.
Really
I mean, that's basically saying you're a pedophile.
Yeah. It's
I hope that you're a pedophile.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. It's bad. You're right. When I first saw it, I was like, okay, it's a joke. But then the serious nature of the matter. Your idea for the top five list.
Yeah.
I liked doing this.
Oh, yeah.
I saw so little of Django Unchained that I told somebody, I've watched the first half of Django Unchained. And they said, what do you think about Leonardo DiCaprio? And I said, is he in it? I didn't even know he was in. I have not seen.
I forget he shows up so late. In the movie.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he's in.
He
was in the movie.
Fantastic, man.
I look
absolutely
forward to seeing
incredible.
It. So when you said let's rank a top five,
yeah.
I said all right, let's do top five Quentin Tarantino directed movies. There's only been nine.
Yeah, there has. So our list may be very similar, but I do want to say so we're going to start doing this top five list every week.
Yes,
and it's going to be something different every week.
Yes.
So those listening or watching, please recommend top five lists for us to do.
Could
they can
anything.
Literally be anything.
Anything. You could do top
sports,
five cheeseburgers.
Food. Yeah. People. Whatever. Yeah. I don't care. Serial killers. I don't care.
Top five people. Yeah. Top five serial killers.
Five
how
serial
would you rank
killers.
Top five serial killers?
I don't know. I don't know if it's statistic based
I don't
or
think
likability.
I can take part in
you know
that
what I'm saying?
One.
I mean,
I feel like I'd get canceled for that.
Maybe.
If you start
I don't know.
Doing
I disagree.
That.
I mean, we all got favorite people. So, if you're listening or watching, please recommend stuff. We're going to try to do something like this every week.
All right. Here are my five. You want me to do them? Just do my five favorite.
Yeah, give me your five.
Okay,
we'll go one for one.
Number five, and you know I hate Kill Bill. Hate it. So you know that one's not on.
Yeah,
number five, I put Jackie Brown, which I like.
That's my number five too.
I love that movie.
I think it's extremely underrated.
I agree. Yeah. I thought it was excellent. I almost put it number four.
Yeah,
I mean I really like it a lot. Number three, even though I've only seen 40 minutes of it. Django Unchained.
You put it on your top five, even though.
I loved it.
Really?
I loved it.
Was that your number three or number four?
Four.
Number four, okay.
Number four, Django Unchained. I've only seen 45 minutes of it. I loved it.
I put Reservoir Dogs as my number four.
All right.
I feel like that was the introduction to Tarantino and everything we know and love about him. And
okay.
I just think it's very underrated. Also, Tarantino's the best filmmaker ever.
You think?
100%. I would not debate anybody else about that.
Spielberg.
No, better. 100%.
Scorsese.
Yes, better.
Better than Scorsese.
Better. Yes.
You know he's got some big ones now.
And I agree. But Tarantino is one of like three directors who you watch it and you go, this is a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
He's so niche and so like just specific with what he does.
Some people don't like him.
I agree, and I understand why. I mean, he is kind of polarizing, but as far as cinema goes, his character development, his dialogue is perfect.
Yeah.
He's never had a dud.
Well, I didn't like Kill Bill. Duds. You know, I didn't like Kill Bill.
But Kill Bill is amazing.
You think Kill Bill is good?
It's not on my list, but it's still incredible.
Number three, I put Reservoir Dogs. I love Reservoir Dogs. I think it's outstanding.
Number three for me, I put Kill Bill Volume 2.
Well, see, I haven't seen that one. I only saw the first one.
I think Volume 2 is better. I think Volume 2 is a better story than Volume 1.
Are they completely different?
They're very different, yes. So Volume 1 is a lot more action, bloody.
Yeah.
You know, Volume 2 is a little bit more story-based.
Okay, I saw Kill Bill Volume 1 in the theater.
Yeah.
At an old theater with my wife, and halfway through it, I thought it was so bloody for no reason. I thought there was so much, you know, I don't mind blood. I thought it was so ridiculously over-the-top bloody. My wife said, I hate this. I said, I did too. We left.
Really?
Okay. So when Kill Bill Volume 2 came out, I just assumed it was a continuation and didn't even bother.
Now, Kill Bill Volume 2, I think is better.
You think I can see it on my own without the first one?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you kind of know the basis of Kill Bill and like, you know, who people are and stuff like that, then you can watch the second one.
Well, maybe I should watch the second one because the first one I didn't like at all, as you heard. Okay, so you have Kill Bill Volume 2 at number three.
Yeah.
Number two, I have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay. I have Pulp Fiction at number two.
Mm.
And I think we've switched our
yes,
two and
one.
Yes,
we have. You have Once
yes,
Upon a
Time. Yes, I have Once Upon a Time at number
one. I love
one
it.
For,
I do
yes.
love it. But yes. Pulp Fiction, to me, just changed the game.
You're right. You're
I
right.
mean, that, to me,
I think
just
Pulp
it.
Fiction, which coming up on 30 years, actually, this year.
Oh, that's
is,
right.
This year is 30 years.
Is that
so,
1994 when that
yeah,
came out?
You may have an opportunity to see it in theaters, which, if it comes around, I will.
I saw so. It in the theater.
Really?
You didn't, I guess.
No, I didn't.
I saw it in
I
the theater.
When it came out.
How old were you?
Two.
Two.
I was two when
you
it came out.
You were two when it yeah. came out. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I did when I saw it. I saw the Cowboys beat the Broncos at a sports bar.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
By seven. And that was one of their great teams. You know, they yeah. had the Troy Aikman years. And then I went afterwards and saw, as a Sunday, and saw like a 7:30 start of Pulp
yeah.
Fiction.
Yeah.
And when I walked out of it, I was like, oh my God. I went with a girl. And she was very disturbed by it. She's
really?
Like, I can't be part of this. I can't watch it. She broke
yeah.
up with me.
Broke
she said, that's it.
That's,
I can't be part of this.
Did you like this stuff?
She
no,
said, if you like
it.
And I said, I thought it was intense and incredible. Yeah. And she said, I can't watch that whole thing with the gimp and all of that.
See, that was a weird. The first time I ever saw it, it was in my I was in at
you
home
were two.
In my well I,
not in
was,
the theaters.
I was yeah. I don't know I was maybe 20 or something.
Uh-huh.
I'd heard about it my whole life, but I never watched it. And then yeah. I watched it the first time, and the end diner scene when Jules is talking to the dude and has the gun on him.
Yeah.
I was like, this is perfect.
It's phenomenal.
It's how do you get any better?
It's
than this?
Phenomenal. But you like?
But
Once
I think
Upon a Time?
I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood three times in the month of December.
This
absolutely,
year?
Yes.
Wow.
The month of December. I loved it.
Wow.
And I was kind of on the Charles Manson kick as well,
uh-huh.
but I think it's just absolutely perfect.
It's great.
I think it's fantastic.
I put him one and two, and
yeah.
I never thought I'd say anything was close to Pulp Fiction
yeah.
for him, but I thought it was really close.
Yeah.
Now, you'll notice I did not put Bastards in there.
Yeah. It was interesting, but you liked it, but it definitely wouldn't go in your top five.
I didn't
five.
Love it. I always thought I would like that movie better than Pulp Fiction.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't, at least not the first few minutes of Pulp Fiction.
I'm not going to lie.
Of Django Unchained.
And Glorious Bastard, and Django's not in my top five, even though I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's better than, Glorious Bastards may be one of his worst, but it's great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's fantastic.
I loved the first scene.
Yeah.
There's a scene in a bar where, you know, it's like.
That scene as well.
That scene.
Yeah.
They're two amazing scenes, but then the rest of it, I just thought, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I did like it. And I liked Brad Pitt in it, and I loved Christoph Waltz, who won the Academy Award for
yeah.
it. But I didn't, overall, I was like, this doesn't interest me as much as I thought it would.
Yeah.
And then Django, I went in thinking, I'm not going to like it that much. And of course, I've only seen 45 minutes, but I loved it.
It only gets better.
Oh, yeah.
When you get a chance, I would highly recommend finishing it.
Well,
I'm
considering renting it, which I never spend
money.
You know
do
I don't spend
If you've
money.
Never seen it, if you've never seen Leonardo DiCaprio's acting in that, you definitely need to watch it.
He's one of our greats.
It gets more and more intense.
Better actor, Pitt or DiCaprio?
DiCaprio.
Me too.
I think Pitt is close.
He's good, but
yes.
DiCaprio's better.
Yeah.
I thought DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was unbelievable.
I think Pitt was better.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think DiCaprio was better.
Yeah.
When DiCaprio, there's a scene in it where he plays an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's doing a scene with a little girl.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in that scene, I was like, this is the best acting I've ever seen. And the little girl says, that's the best acting I've ever seen. I thought, you're right.
You're right.
It 100%.
Is.
It's incredible.
But Tarantino's got one more.
What's that? I don't know.
It's going to be called The Film Critic.
Ah.
When it comes out, I don't know. So we're coming up on five. So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out in 2019.
Really? It's
yes.
been that long.
So we
it's
got coming
years.
Up on 5 years. So
yeah.
I'll say maybe in the next year or two, we get a new Tarantino movie, which will be his last.
Well, he says that.
Says
he may
his
do
last.
Another. I'll tell you, that movie, if you had asked me when did that come out, I would have said a year and a half ago.
Really?
That's the way you get. When you get older,
it was pre-pandemic,
like,
man, which is crazy.
I know. I saw it in the theater. That's
yeah.
one of the last movies I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
I see almost nothing anymore in the theater.
Yeah.
But that's a good one. I
dread
really like
the
it.
Day when he's done making movies.
You're that big a fan.
I'm a huge Tarantino fan. I think he's the best. He's the GOAT, man.
This is very niche.
He is the GOAT.
Okay. Yeah. I like. I think I like Scorsese better, and I think
okay.
I think I like Spielberg better too.
I don't think their highs match his highs.
Well, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Scorsese now. He's got some
And I
great.
Think there's something to be said about people with a limited catalog as well.
Well, I like the fact that he said, I'm going to do 10 and
10,
and that's it.
Yeah.
And you know what else? He goes there in a lot of movies. Like in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I mean, they use words, and I think, can you say that?
Exactly.
Even in a movie? And
yes.
he makes no apologies for it.
And I love the rewriting of history that he does with the slave
yep.
beating the slave owners.
Yep. Yep.
The Nazis beating the,
yep.
or sorry, the Germans beating the Nazis.
Yeah, yeah.
The Sharon Tate. Murderers getting killed before.
I loved the end. This is a spoiler. In Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the way it ends, which is a total twist where Sharon Tate does not get killed.
Yeah.
And then, but I didn't like it with the Hitler scene at the end of Inglourious Basterds. I thought, for whatever reason, I didn't like that.
Fair enough.
You know, I liked it in one. I didn't like it in the other. Gotcha. But I don't mind the rewriting of history. That's pretty good.
I love it. I love the fact that he does that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool the way he does it. All right, it's a good top five.
Yeah.
Next time, we'll do another top five. A listener suggested or viewer suggested.
And we may come up with one in the meantime. But yes, please recommend some stuff. And this could go any which way.
And how is that done?
You can go on YouTube and you can comment on our YouTube video and say what type of top 10 you want us to see. I also put out a post on Facebook, Square in the Round on Facebook. You can comment there as well.
Okay.
And let us know what you want to hear.
I know none of that stuff. Yeah. You do everything.
I'll handle it.
Let's see if you've got a beard the next time we're together. That's it. The Square and the Round here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading.